Hey, Teen Creeps listeners, this week we present a special Patreon preview of our Outside Genre episodes. Outside Genre episodes are available to $8 and up patrons. You get to submit into a raffle. The winner of each month's raffle gets to choose the book that we cover for the Outside Genre episodes. And it is what it sounds like. It's a book in a genre in which we do not normally cover. And this book is definitely outside of the genre we normally cover. It is a cozy murder mystery written by a cat. That's right. It is Wish You Were Here by Rita Mae Brown and Sneaky Pie Brown. Okay, weirdly, it also is maybe our new favorite book series. So something has happened to us. We're now really into cozy mysteries written by cats. Take a listen. Hope you enjoy it. If you do, patreon.com/teencreeps. Thanks and enjoy. This month on the Outside Genre episode, Wish You Were Here by Rita Mae Brown and Sneaky Pie Brown.
Hello, welcome to another Teen Creeps Outside Genre episode. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Katai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today we are reading Wish You Were Here, a Mrs. Brown... Nope, sorry. You can't look at a word and then say a different word.
No, you can't. Impossible. You cannot.
A Mrs. Murphy mystery written by Rita Mae Brown, but not really. It's by her cat, Sneaky Pie Brown. And there actually is a tagline on this cover that I'm looking at. It takes a cat to write the perfect mystery.
That's really perfect. Wow. I didn't mean to say that again, but that's so...
It's spot on.
Because it brings us to the conceit of the story of these books, which is that these books are written by a cat named Sneaky Pie Brown.
Well, it's written by Mrs. Murphy.
Right. Nom de plume is Sneaky Pie Brown.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe.
Yes. About Harry and Tucker and all of that. Huge thanks to Ingrid P, this month's winner, for suggesting this book. Honestly, it was what we needed right now.
You know what? I kind of loved it.
Listen, there were parts where I was like, I'm going to tell you my favorite parts.
Okay.
My favorite parts were the animal detectives.
They were all very sassy and like, humans.
Yes.
Nobody was like cutesy pie.
No.
This was a cozy mystery where I wasn't like barfing.
Yes. Honestly, like I was like, am I going to hate all these animal characters? The second we see them, they are, and I think I was like, oh yay, when many people were like, inappropriate. How dare you?
Yeah, as soon as the animals were swearing, which is immediately.
Yes, like their first words.
Oh, okay. I'm on board. Whereas several reviews, I'll just read the first one on Amazon.com. One star from J.K. Brown. The title, and this was written March 1st, 2019, lest you think this was like an old review. And the title of the review is Animals Cursing? Couldn't even get past the first page or two. I don't appreciate foul language, and to have animal characters using it is even worse.
Even worse. Also, I want to say shout
not
out.
Not a this cozy. Is... I thought this was supposed to be a cozy, but language says otherwise. If you are sensitive to this, please be aware. I was so looking forward to reading a cute kitty mystery and was familiar with this name, but will search elsewhere. Frowny face.
Here's the thing. I think this kitty cozy is exactly the kind of kitty cozy that you and I are going to love.
Yeah, this is our speed kitty cozy.
Also, it was like violent. Like I was like shocked at the fucked up shit that was happening to these bodies.
It was kind of crazy.
It was like more gory than a lot of like point horror.
This does not meet my expectations of a cozy mystery. The F-bomb and sacrilege are a deal breaker for me. If I wanted opinions on religion, politics, and feminism, I would watch TV or read nonfiction.
Oh, yeah, because I am going to tell you something, that this author is LGBTQ, and she also is a feminist. And so these books, I mean,
her politics are progressive.
They're progressive.
And this is about, like, she talks about humans ruining the environment. Like, yes, she uses the animals to critique human society. And yeah, I was loving it.
Yeah. I honestly might be hooked on this series. There were parts of it that I was not as interested in. It was like a little bit clunky. And it was just because there's a lot of characters to keep track of, because this is the first book in the series. So we don't know all the characters of Crozet, Virginia yet. Mm-hmm. So we're like meeting everybody. And so at first I was like, okay, who is this and who is this? But anytime we were with T. Tucker, who is a corgi.
And who I couldn't get over the fact that it was a female dog.
I loved that it was both a girl dog and a girl cat.
Uh-huh.
I was like, honestly refreshing, because like, if I have to read another girls are cats and boys are dogs situation, I was going to barf. So thank God.
My cracked brain.
Yeah.
Couldn't get over it. I was like, but
it's in a dog.
boys are dogs. And dogs are boys.
Yeah.
Also, I think it was just the name T. Tucker. Is like so golfy. And I just think of golf as a male sport, even though only women are playing golf in this book. I think, yes, I loved this book.
I loved this book. I loved that there's a character named Boom Boom.
Boom Boom, no space.
Yeah. Boom Boom. Capital B-O-O-M. Capital B-O-O-M. One word.
And she's the like hot wife in town who turns out was having an affair with the main character, Harry's
ex-husband,
like separated now husband.
Mm-hmm. And I also loved,
but she had depth.
Yes. And that he had depth. He wasn't, yes, just like evil. He was just like kind of delusional.
Emotionally stunted.
Yes. Yes. And I loved too, her best friend and her husband, like their relationship was so good. Susan and Ned, like they, like basically Harry, who her full name is Mary Minor Harristine. So she goes by Harry.
Even though that's her married name, funny enough.
Yes. But she's been married since she was 23. So she got married way too young. And she like looks at, she's like, she looks at her own relationship, which was like, okay, like we got married when we were super young and we kind of like, you know, sex and all of that, like isn't enough when like neither of you are really willing to change. When, and then she looks at like Ned and Susan, who like Susan was like, I cannot do housework. So like we need to make adjustments to like hire somebody to do that for us. So I'll start working. And like you we'll just scrimp where we can so that way we can have the things that we want. And she like looks at that, and she Harry looks at that and is like, man, you know, like that's what love is, not what I had with Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great.
The names in this are so funny.
So funny. Oh,
recently,
should I,
Brown was like glamorous in the 80s.
Who?
Rita Mae Brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like wrote prolifically.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've seen these books forever.
And I mean, there's like a million other books, like not only the Sneaky Pie Brown series, but Jungle Fruit, Ruby Fruit Jungle. And then also an Emmy nominated screenwriter.
Wow.
She was born illegitimate in Hanover, Pennsylvania. She was raised by her biological mother's female cousin and the cousin's husband.
I believe she was Southern.
Huh?
I was totally believing that she was Southern.
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Then she went to University of Florida at Gainesville on a scholarship. Oh my God, the administrators of the racially segregated university expelled her for participating in the civil rights movement. So then, wow, she enrolled at a community college to then hopefully transfer. She lived in New York City between fall 1964 and 69, sometimes homeless while attending NYU, where she received a degree in classics and English. She's a good writer.
Yeah, I enjoyed her writing.
And then she got a degree in cinematography from the New York School of Visual Arts. And then a PhD in literature from Union Institute and University in 1976, and has a doctorate in political science. Jesus Christ, lady.
Dang.
So then in 73, she starts living in the Hollywood Hills. And then in 77, she bought a farm in Charlottesville, Virginia, where she still lives.
What she a wrote, cool lady.
Okay. She wrote the screenplay Sleepless Nights, which was then retitled The Slumber Party Massacre. And given limited release theatrically, she was in this organization in the 70s, National Organization for Women. But then the Betty Friedan, who I guess was like one of the main people,
she wrote Feminine Mystique. I forget.
Well, so she made a bunch of anti-gay remarks and tried to move now away from lesbian organizations. So Rita Mae Brown left.
Mm-hmm. Betty Friedan did write The Feminine Mystique.
Wow. Oh, my God. No choice but to stand. Okay, ready? She goes, I mean, oh my God. Okay. Oh, you need to hear. Okay. In the early 1970s, she became a founding member of the Furies Collective, a lesbian feminist newspaper collective in Washington, D.C., which held that heterosexuality was the root of all oppression. She told Time Magazine in 2008, I don't believe in straight or gay. I really don't. I think we're all degrees of bisexual. There may be a few people on the extreme, if it's a bell curve, who really are truly gay or really truly are straight, because nobody's ever said these things and used their real name. I suddenly became... In the late 1970s, the only lesbian in America. So she she was like in 2008 saying the spectrum thing before people
were saying
that.
About that. Well,
I mean, I guess they were saying, but it wasn't.
The spectrum thing started with like Kinsey in the 60s, right?
But what I mean is, like, I guess it had a resurgence on Twitter, like.
True.
Last year.
Certainly, like,
everyone was like,
we're in its second wave spectrums.
Yeah.
Much as Betty Friedan was credited for doing second wave feminism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this book was written in 1991
also,
and contains,
like,
a lot of critique.
Also, this, like, a lot of people, like, I feel like, do not understand this book. Like, someone's like, the characters were not well developed.
Characters aren't well. They're just pissy because the cats are like sassy and swear.
Also, okay.
And
then,
the characters have depth and it's not just like, I'm a self-proclaimed spinster or like, like her characters are show don't tell. It's not like, I can't be beholden to any man. You just like see the, wow, does this book pass the Bechdel test?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, okay. I'm sorry. I'm reading this review. This person says that the animals have toxic views on mental health and just life in general that feels like Brown turned them into some kind of furry Ayn Randian mouthpiece. I didn't feel that.
Oh, they're talking about how, like, we don't kill our serial killer children.
Oh. I remember
that
part.
Which I kind of...
I saw that part. That. Yes, I do actually. I was kind of falling asleep at some points. And just because I got sleepy. And I remember seeing that and being like, oh, that's weird.
There were some bold statements, but because they were being said by animals.
But also animals do, like, that.
Yeah, animals. I think she was just commenting on, like, no, I mean, I can't disagree with that person because the statements are pretty extreme. But she's definitely not talking about, like, killed depressed people.
No.
She's talking about, like, if you have baby Bart.
Yeah.
Kill baby Bart. That's the cat's point of view. Because the cat would kill their baby Bart.
Okay, do you want to hear this review?
Yes.
2 stars. I really wanted to love this one because of the corgi dog in the story. However, sadly, I did not. I'm not a huge fan of cats, so I really didn't care too much for Mrs. Murphy. Although, I do have to admit, the interactions between the animals were so cute. There were several things, however, that I did not like about this book. One, the very first thing that was very annoying to me in the beginning was all the characters thrown in the first chapter so soon. Honestly, it was kind of hard for me.
It was a little overwhelming. I don't disagree with that.
I don't disagree with this part. It was kind of hard for me to keep up with who is who, and I found myself having to go back to the list of characters. Yes. Two, the character names were very weird. Boom Boom, I wonder where the author came up with them.
Hello, that's the fun of it. Her ex, soon-to-be ex-husband is what, like, Pharisee or?
Oh, yeah, but then, yeah.
Pheromone?
Faribald or, like, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, three, I was looking for more mystery and action in this book. Sadly, it fell short on that aspect. I disagree. It had a lot
of... I disagree, but at least it's, like, a legit critique. Right.
My favorite character was Tucker the Welsh Corgi. He was so cute. Wrong is a girl. I am just a huge parentheses. I'm just a huge dog lover.
So I'm going to pick up this mystery series as written by a cat.
Harry lacked more development, I think. She really didn't stand strong to me as a main character. Since I do like the concept of Mrs. Murphy the cat and Tucker the dog solving mysteries, I will be reading more books in the series. I have read that the books after the first one get better.
And yet only two stars.
Two stars. You're going to read this entire fucking series. This person
is very, like, they have very high standards.
High standards. High standards. I mean,
it seems like this person reviews on one scale for all books. Like, is this The Great American Novel? No.
No. No, but it is what it is. Would I give this
book 4 stars for being a cozy mystery? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you got to have a different, you have to have a different grading system for each genre. Is my opinion.
Yeah.
Sounds like this I two so. Stars is based on, like, she's like, well, it's no Ulysses, but.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh God. Ugh. This book was really not good. It was, quote, written by a cat. And honestly, with the writing and sudden topic shifts, it probably was written by Brown's cat. Molly, go to fucking hell.
Okay, bud.
Oh my God.
Probably was written by a cat.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Very
funny. I mean... It probably was, honestly, okay, so let me just read the description of the book. Curiosity might just be the death of Mrs. Murphy and her human companion, Mary Minor Harry Harristine. Small towns are like families. Everyone lives very close together, and everyone keeps secrets. Crozet, Virginia is a typical small town until its secrets explode into murder. Crozet's 30-something postmistress, Mary Minor Harry Harristine, has a tiger cat, Mrs. Murphy. Oh, I also really liked the illustrations in this book.
Were they illustrations or straight up photos? I thought they might be like actual photos of her cat.
Or they might be like, she just like ran it through a like Sketchifier thing.
It was well, I couldn't cute, tell on my Kindle.
Oh, okay. So I was reading the open library version, which was a scanned version of the book.
You were, yeah.
So it looked like illustrations to me.
But I'm sure that you have a better read on it.
Oh, nice. Has a tiger cat, Mrs. Murphy, and a Welsh corgi, Tucker, a pending divorce, and a bad habit of reading postcards not addressed to her. When Crozet's citizens start showing up murdered, Harry remembers that each received a card with a tombstone on the front and the message, "Wish you were here," on the back. Intent on protecting their human friend, Mrs. Murphy and Tucker began to scent out clues. Meanwhile, Harry's conducting her own investigation, unaware her pets are one step ahead of her. If only Mrs. Murphy could alert her somehow, Harry could uncover the culprit before the murder occurs. And before Harry finds herself on the killer's mailing list.
It's well written. That's a good summary.
Yeah, it's from the paperback edition back of the book, is what I'm saying.
Nice.
Honestly, okay, I loved how I just loved the investigation part with the pets. Like, I loved when they were like, oh, that dog told me that it smelled like iguanas over there. So, like, let's go smell it. And then they, like, went to go smell the crime scene.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, yeah, this spot smells amphibian. It smells like a turtle.
Yeah.
But we can't quite place it. Because, like, they're smelling, I assume, the cyanide. Because then they smell her making an almond smoothie. And ooh. Couple of like chef's kiss 90s diet food descriptions in this.
I mean, hers was like, it was definitely a milkshake, right? Because she put ice cream in there.
Well, the first thing that we see her eating is cottage cheese on a bed of lettuce covered with almond slivers.
Yeah.
I highlighted it. Let me look for it. That night, after a supper of cottage cheese on a bed of lettuce sprinkled with sunflower seeds, Harry pulled out the postcards and her mother's huge magnifying glass.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. I also will say that this is not this story, unlike many other cozy mysteries, does not have a romance element for
the main character,
for Harry. It does for Mrs. Murphy.
Yeah. She's got like a hell of a boyfriend.
That on again, off again, hot and heavy.
Patty.
He's a tuxedo cat. Is Patty.
A bad boy.
He is.
And seems very charming, genuinely charming. Doesn't give a shit about humans.
He's like the boy cat in Aristocats. he's very charming.
He's a tomcat.
But I loved, okay, there's two, like, I think, star investigation moments by the pets. Mm-hmm. One, when they go to one of the crime scenes and they're like, oh, fuck, it smells like the amphibian thing here, too. Oh, my God, we found evidence. Mom. And they're like running around. And then everyone thinks that the pets are going crazy because of the smell of blood.
Yeah.
So they're like,
and she's like, oh, like, get away from there.
Everyone's like, shh, shh. And they're like, no, I found the evidence, come. And they're like, what are they doing? They're like racing all around. I was like, I love that.
I thought it was so funny how they refer to her as either Harry or Mommy.
Yeah.
And yet they hate it when she talks to them in a baby voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, get that fucking tone of voice out of your bitch mouth right now. But stop.
I loved that. I also loved when like... when she like refuses to take them on like an investigation thing, and so they like take it out on her and like like knock over a ficus and like
they trash the place,
and they love to play a tag. I just thought it was so cute. I don't know.
I thought that they had good personalities. They weren't, nothing was like sickly sweet.
No.
Yeah, it's just like our kind of cozy mystery. Like,
yes.
I think that this was my first highlight because it sort of perfectly gives the impression of like what sort of like this book was written by a cat tone got. I don't like cats myself. Mrs. H drew herself up to her full height, which was considerable.
There's a lot of fat shaming because of poor, also Pewter.
Pewter is a fat cat.
I love Pewter, though. I love Pewter so much.
I love Pewter. I loved all the characters. There is too much fat shaming. I will say that.
It's the 90s.
She had the girth to match. I mean, the main character is fucking eating cottage cheese. It was like, it was a bad time for women.
Bad time.
Too independent. Yes, many people say that, Harry thought to herself, and all of them are fascists.
I mean.
So it's like, ew, you're not a cat person. It's not like... How dare you? They're the most magical creatures who ever, like, they feed my soul. It's like, you're a fucking fascist then.
Yeah, I mean, the vibe of this book, because, like, when they're deciding to, like, play tag in the house and, like, fuck up the ficus, they aren't like, let's run around and play. Like, they're like, I don't know, I'm bored. You want to play you want to play tag? Mom can't be here to stop us, so let's do that. And so, like, well, great, let's do it.
It's also like, all right, we've got to trash this place so that the next time she goes out, she takes us with, so that we can smell that crime scene.
Yes.
So there is, like, a hard, cold logic to them totally tearing shit up.
Mm-hmm. I also loved, so the pets find, Roy or Bob? What's the guy's name?
Which kind of murder was it?
This was the guy who was in love with the lady that had the antique shop.
Bob.
Okay,
Bob. Or she didn't have an antique shop. She had a shipping business.
Oh, right. Shipping business.
Our villain had the antique shop.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So Bob, they notice that he like is sneaking in and out of the shipping business, which was owned by the second woman who's murdered, who is a Yankee because she's from the North. And they somehow get in to the shipping office and they find out that there is a, and it's Pewter, Mrs. Murphy, and Tucker. And Pewter is the cat that lives
at the market.
At the market. And then it's Mrs. Murphy. And
cat.
Yes. I loved
her. She sounded so cute.
She sounded so freaking cute. I mean, she just reminded me, like, and there was something that, like, because I notice when my cats do this, because they're getting a little bit chubby, although I think it's cute. But when, like, LH, like, runs down the hall, her top of her body is still, and then her legs are like, and then her, like, tummy is like, and, like, it's just, I think it's cute. I call it the tummy sway, uh-huh. which is very cute. But Mrs. Murphy fat shames Pewter for having that. And I was like,
I will
but
say,
that's
like, an overweight pet for me is much different than an overweight person.
Yeah.
Like, you, if you have a truly overweight cat, you are being an irresponsible pet owner. I don't care how cute fat cats are, and they are fucking cute. I get it.
Yeah.
But that cat can't control their eating.
Yeah.
You need to feed it what it's supposed to be fed. Stop giving it so many treats. It's different than being a human.
And literally, like, and here's the thing with LH. We have tried everything. Like, she doesn't even really
well,
like
she's
eating.
She's older, and I'm sure for her, it's more of a flabbiness 11. Thing than
it's flab.
Than like overfeeding.
And it's the flab that like all older indoor cats get, mm-hmm. which is just the like the tummy kind of becomes its own situation.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's not the same as like Smokey, who's like becoming quite the big husky boy who like we are trying and he will still find ways to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
like, there's like a husky pet. I guess it's the difference between somebody who like needs intervention because it's causing like serious health problems and not mm-hmm. just like you don't fit society's idea of attractiveness. Mm-hmm. It's that. It's like true. Like if an animal is overweight, they can't control that and it's going to create such health problems.
For the pet. Yeah.
This isn't like only skinny cats are attractive.
Yeah. And also, like, Pewter didn't strike me. Here's the two things of it.
The thing, though, in the book is, like, Pewter is, like, human overweight. It's treated mm-hmm. as though she's just, like, a fat woman.
But also, Mrs. Murphy is a bitch. Like, she's mean. Is a bitch. She's mean. Because here's the thing.
Well, she's jealous of Pewter.
She's jealous of Pewter. And also, Tucker doesn't think those thoughts about Pewter.
It is Mrs. Murphy's shit personality.
Because she's also jealous of Pewter mm-hmm. because there's that one scene where Pewter comes in to the
post office. A fucking superstar of cuteness.
And it's like laying on her back and everyone's petting her belly. And then Mrs. Murphy's like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
So then Mrs. Murphy jumps into the mail bin and is like, look at me, I'm so cute. And then everyone's like, oh, Mrs. Murphy. Which my cats have done that.
And T. Tucker is like, aren't you just doing what you were accusing her of? And she's like, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm in the mail bin.
I'm in the mail bin. I'm being wheeled around. I can't. Sorry, what?
And it's so cute that Mrs. Tucker likes going in the mail bin and being like zoomed around, which mm-hmm. is very cute. I don't know. It was the perfect amount of cuteness. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a really good balance of cute with like, just like, without being saccharine.
Yeah. Yeah, this story is not saccharine. In fact, the way that people are murdered, or rather the way their bodies are disposed of is very gruesome.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You were going to get to that night.
Okay. So the first... Oh, I don't remember that I was going to get to it, but I'll get to it now. So the first guy that's murdered is Kelly, which, oh, my God, I sent you that screenshot.
There's a Kelly and a Lindsay in this, and Kelly is a man, and he dies.
Yes. And there's a one sentence that like just really creeped me out because it says, well, I was cutting up the newspaper to send Lindsay a clipping about Kelly's death. And then I decided to send her a care package. And I was like,
yeah, like what? What?
I was like, help.
It's very jarring.
Yes. But so Kelly, who is basically he's a paver, and he's very rich. And everyone's kind of like, how could a paver be that rich? He drives a, what does he drive?
He's a construction guy in general. Yeah.
And at the very beginning,
Ferrari, though.
That's right. He drives a Ferrari. At the very beginning, there's this guy that like kind of confronts him and is like, you overcharged me on the paving job you did on my driveway. And Kelly's like, what? And he's like, yeah, what, you think you're so special because you drive this Ferrari? And it is true that Kelly and his wife, Boom Boom, are very wealthy. Mm-hmm. They're like the wealthy people in town. And so it's kind of, and Boom Boom doesn't work. So it's like, how is he getting all this money? Which we find out later. Mm-hmm. And
they get in a full on physical fight.
Yes, they're punching on the porch. And I did like the detail of like Harry, like being like, okay, so it's like rude for me to go out there, but I am going to stare at them through the window.
It's Kelly Craycroft and Bob Berryman.
Oh, right. Bob Berryman is the one who beats him up.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep kind of red herring Bob a little bit because he's also going in and out of
the second victim, Maud.
The second Maud's shop after she's dead. But we find out it's because he was in love with her and he was having an affair with her.
Yeah.
And then he's
Bly Medina.
Oh, yeah. Maud Bly Medina. Yeah. I feel like Maud was kind of like the write-in character of Rita Mae Brown because she's like a Yankee who is in the South, which is like kind of what
mm-hmm.
she is.
Like is well-liked, but doesn't know all of the like Southern etiquette.
Oh, right. Because at Kelly's funeral, like I guess the Southern etiquette is like you don't walk down the middle aisle at the funeral. If well, you're like not,
you are new to town, even though you've been here 5 years, mm-hmm. and you do not get a front pew, sit in the back.
Yeah. And like, also, you don't know them nearly well enough to think you could be, you don't even try to start walking down the, mm-hmm. down the middle, like just take the back and that's where you go.
Yeah.
So like, that's like the very like arbitrary Southern hospital or Southern etiquette that she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry, being the postmistress, notices that, Kelly gets a postcard to him, that just has like that cursive computer font on the back of it that just says, wish you were here. And on the front, it's like a cemetery, like a headstone with like mm-hmm. an angel. And she's like, doesn't really think anything of it. And then he is found ground up in a cement mixer.
Yep.
Which I was like, okay, wow.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also find a little bit of arsenic in his hair, which I know about from Forensic Files, because almost all of Forensic Files episodes, there's fucking poison, and where do they find it? In the goddamn hair.
Really?
Just so you know. Yeah, there's it goes in your hair.
Hmm.
And if you're like being poisoned and then like not being poisoned and then being poisoned, like you can look at an entire strand and see like when someone was poisoned from the growth.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool. And for how long, based on how much of it has arsenic in it. Yeah. So it's always poison. And it's like always the spouse that calls 911 and is like, and you're like, mm-hmm.
Yep.
You're acting kind of weird. And also the absolutely embarrassing behavior of people pretending that they didn't kill their spouses. Like, there was this one guy, he's so embarrassing. Like, he's sitting in an interrogation room and he's like, when I just think, oh, because okay, his wife was found at the bottom of the stairs, her head broken open, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps claiming that it's like these shoes that she had were too slippery and she fell. Uh-huh. But like they found out that like he murdered her in the kitchen and then like dumped her at the bottom of the stairs.
Right.
But he's like, I was telling her about the shoes. Those goddamn shoes. okay, sir.
Calm yourself.
you are very, like, it's so cringy. Like, just him, like, and he's like thrusting his arms out and just like not even really crying. He's just like screaming. And you're like, okay, like, this is, you're acting poorly.
Mm-hmm. You need training.
Yeah, because this is not, you're not feeling the moment. You're practicing a performance, which is not the same.
No.
So anyway.
You're pushing.
They find arsenic in the hair, but they can't even like find a cause of death really, because they wouldn't be able to find a bullet because the body is like mush. Mm-hmm. And it's a hot day. Oh.
Yeah, it's hot, 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 the whole book.
Mm-hmm. And the pets are there because Harry brings her, she calls them the kids. She brings her, she brings Tucker and Mrs. Murphy with her everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they are like, whoa, so-and-so said it smelled pretty weird over here. And it does. Smells like a turtle, which I didn't know turtles smelled like arsenic.
Apparently.
So
news
they
to
get
me.
Really, yeah, news to me. Good to know, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you smell a turtle smell mm-hmm. and there's no turtle around, you're being poisoned.
Yeah. You're being poisoned. Except the humans can't smell the turtle smell.
Actually, did you know that, and I learned this again from Forensic Files, that I think it's like 40% of the population either can or cannot smell this. So it's like split. The other percentage can smell the almond smell from arsenic.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and it does smell like almonds. So.
Well, I can't smell almonds, so I would definitely be fucked.
Yeah. You're pretty screwed. I can smell. I have a very good sense of smell.
I have a very good sense of smell.
Where, because there was this one case where this, there was like these people in a break room at work, and this one lady fills up her water at the water jug. At the, what is it called?
Water cooler.
Yeah. At the water cooler. And she drank it and she's like, oh God, guys, don't drink this. It's something's weird with this water. It tastes like really like, it's burning. My mouth is burning. She goes to the bathroom. Everyone's like, huh, what? Like, she's not coming back. And then so some people started filling up the water to like smell and taste it. And they would spat it out. And some of them could smell that it was almondy.
Poisoned.
Yeah. Yeesh. And then so then they didn't drink it. They find that woman dead in the
bathroom. She saved everyone.
She basically saved everyone. And guess what? The reason that all the water was fucking poisoned was because one of the co-workers, the woman who found the lady who died in the bathroom, mm-hmm. was the intended victim because her ex, or no, her stalker was like, if I can't have you, no one will, kind of thing, poisoned all the fucking water. She doesn't die, but her coworker does.
That's very sad.
Can you imagine if like that, just like someone dying because someone else was supposed to be poisoned? Like that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing sucks, but.
Yeah. It super sucks.
But so then when the police came to investigate that space, some of them were like, oh, it really smells in here like poison. And then some of them couldn't smell it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So only some people can smell it. Listen, I'm learning a lot about arsenic from Forensic
Yeah,
Files.
Clearly.
I just think everyone likes to poison people using either antifreeze or arsenic. So mm-hmm. watch out.
Yeah, dangerous.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So then they find out that that's Kelly. He's in one of his own cement mixers, completely mushed up. And they're like, well, we don't know what happened to him. Someone murdered him because he wouldn't fall.
Mm-hmm.
But they did see some scarring on his arteries, which I don't know how they did because he was all mixed up.
I guess he just got chopped up.
Partially mixed. He was folded in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, there was a little bit of scarring on the, on his like veins and arteries. So he had like some small heart attacks. So Boom Boom, to like settle her mind, is like, okay, well, he just had a heart attack and then like fell into the mixer. Someone didn't
murder
him. She's
like, I don't want to think about a murder. I just give me a few days. For now, I'm going to think heart attack.
Yeah. And then I'm going to like think about murder when I'm like playing golf.
Yeah.
I also loved Boom Boom going into the office where her husband worked in the. And the secretary is like, he was so nice and he gave me days off. And then Boom Boom's like, can you please pull yourself to fucking together?
Yeah, she hates shows like yes. demonstrations of emotion. And she's like, I'm not having this right now.
And then, oh, okay. So then the next murder is what?
Maude. Literally tied to train tracks.
Yeah, dude.
And run over by a train. Like and cut in like three chunks.
Three chunks. Oh my God. Do you remember when the pets were trying to like communicate the method of death or whatever to Harry and they do it to like a bird and a like little mole and something else? And then Harry's like, what the fuck?
I did think it was something I really liked about the book was generally the animals were very unsuccessful at trying yes. to communicate what was going on. And so it was like almost pointless that they were also investigating the murder until the very end when they yeah. are able to alert the.
Oh, that's how they know. Yeah.
Yeah. Alert Harry and Officer Cooper to the fact that like somebody else is just outside the tunnel they're in.
Yes.
But apart from that, they're like, okay, what will communicate that we know things? Okay, so what you'll do is tear up a bird, and T. Tucker is like, no, thank you. And Mrs. Murphy is like, could you please get with the program?
We're trying to solve a murder.
I said heat. And she's like, oh, fine. And so she, T. Tucker, rips up a bird, and it's supposed to represent Kelly.
Yes.
and then Mrs. Murphy is like, and I will cut this mole into thirds. and we will present it so that they know. So these are indicative of the corpses.
Well, actually, so Susan does pick up on it, though.
Or something. Yeah. And Susan, crazy enough, is like, does that like remind you of anything? And Harry's like what the fuck are you talking about? You're crazy. And you guys are gross. Get this out of here.
Yeah. And they're just like, okay.
Like but every time they try to tell her something, she's like, ooh, it's a treat. Ooh,
yeah, it's a treat. I know. And they're like, no, they're like, we know Jesus the murder.
Christ.
I also loved like the shenanigans that they get into in investigating Maude's because they follow Bob and then they find out that he was like going in her office.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they sneak in, but then the door closes behind them and they're like, like we can't, we're stuck in here. So the idea that this dog and this cat are stuck in this like office of a murder victim, and
I thought it was Harry so funny when they're finally left out and T-Tucker's like, oh, I have to pee so badly.
I know.
And like runs and out.
I also love like just like them like figuring out the false drawer and like I don't know. I just thought it was really cute. Like they were putting their paw on the drawer to open it. Like I was like, oh.
Yeah. And they are successful in alerting them to that.
Well, yeah, because they hide under there until Harry gets them out, which is great. But I also love that it puts Harry kind of in a bad position because everyone's like, so why were your pets in there? And she's like, I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you right now.
And then Mrs. Murphy's like, push me in the thing.
I just really loved
Mrs. Murphy and Tucker. I really loved them.
Yeah, I really loved all the characters.
I know.
I was kind of whatever about Bob Berryman.
Oh, he was fine.
He was like shitty to his wife and like
kind of
beat the shit out of Kelly and homophobic.
Oh, homophobic. That's
right. He didn't like that Maude was such good friends with Josiah.
Right. And he uses the F word.
And yeah, he uses the F word. And I was like, oh, no. And because I didn't know that the author is gay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then Harry is like, don't you ever use that word.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Go, girl.
Yeah, that.
that. Oh, that was the thing. So then Harry remembers that she saw a postcard to Maud that also said, "Wish you were here." And she was like, "Oh, wait a second." And then they find out that the the like very religious neighbor lady, she gets one, and they're like, "Okay, you gotta get locked up, and you gotta you cannot come out because there might be a murder." And she doesn't like Catholics.
She's Protestant. Even the religious lady got a progression.
Yeah, she did. She did. That's right. Because then she's like, "Oh, okay." And you can tell she's like gonna think about it because of the women's role in church. That's right.
Yeah, she's like, "This is all what comes of a lack of godliness in America, and we need to start over with religion." And Harry's like, "Yeah, if we do that, then women are going to be set back centuries." She's like, "Don't bring your feminism into this right now." And she's like, "Think about it. There are no women leaders in your church."
And she's like, "Well, we do important things."
And then she stops and she's like, "Okay, you pose an interesting point." And Harry is shocked that she got through to her in any way.
I liked that. Yeah, me too. I really liked this town of Crozet, Virginia. Like,
I would totally read more of these, and I did not expect that.
I did not. I'm truly like, okay, I want to read Mrs. Murphy number two. And if they only get better, I'm like, cool.
Yeah, I want to see how the series evolves.
Yeah. And have it be easier to read as we get to know the characters more.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, how many murders can happen in this fucking town? This is like very...
this town is pretty fucked up.
Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Like, okay, I mean, Cabot Harry. Cove.
Oh, I just wanted to read this part because it's a good example of the social commentary. So,
yeah.
Fair, Harry's... separated husband is supposed to be paying her alimony already, and he has been withholding checks and owes her like $300-something, which in 1991, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Susan is thinking about this, and she's says she also guessed, Susan, that Fair, good passive aggressive personality that he was playing starve the wife. Husbands and their lawyers loved that game, and quite often it worked. The soon-to-be ex-wife would become dragged down by the subtle battering and give up. Emotionally, the drain was too much for the women, and they would kiss off what they had earned in the marriage. This was made all the more difficult because men took housework and women's labor for granted. No dollar value was attached to it. When the wife withdrew that labor, men usually didn't perceive its value. Instead, they felt something had been done to them. The woman was a bitch.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a good book. Or I liked this little bit. This is, again, sort of like the people who don't like cats are fascist. It's like cozy mystery. And then this last line that makes me go, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So Josiah, her values are spiritual and yours aren't. She's overbearing and narrow-minded about religion. But if I were sick and called her at 3 a.m, she'd be there. Well,
yeah.
His color was brighter now too. I hope you know that I would come over too. You only have to ask. I value you highly, Harry. Thank you, Josiah. Harry wondered if he valued her at all.
Yeah. I liked that she was, like, that she knew that he was disingenuous the whole time. Like, I love that we didn't waste any time with her, like, thinking that he was genuine.
Yeah, and I liked, because Josiah is the killer. Because he found all of this treasure from the guy who was, like, trying to build transit through, what is it, Crozet? It's named after him. I forgot his first name.
Yeah.
There was this rumor that he had all this treasure and he hid it in one of the tunnels that they were working on, but all the tunnels were blocked off. They never found anything, but Josiah found... just a store of, like, beautiful furniture and antiques, and he's been selling it off because that's his business. And he was getting help from Maud and from Kelly. Kelly was helping him in that he built an artificial, like, camouflaged structure to made it look like foliage to cover the tunnel where he was hiding all the shit. And Maud was helping him ship things because she had a shipping business and she was just cooking the books.
Yes.
To make it look like she was getting so much money from all these like packing peanuts.
$15,000 of packing peanuts.
And they were like, there's no way she was doing this volume of business in town. And so Kelly like gets greedy and wants more of a cut. And so Josiah kills him by putting him in the cement because that was the purpose that he served. Mm-hmm. And then he
Maud
kills Maud because Maud's starting to question, of course, Kelly's death. And then he kills Berryman because he accidentally comes upon him. And he shoots Bob Berryman's dog, Ozzy. And I thought that was so sad. But not.
And all the pets, too.
Yeah, all the like, pets are. It's like this tragedy everywhere. They're like, well, if a serial killer is attacking pets now, too, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just they like happened upon him.
Right. Because they found him. Mm-hmm. I loved two details. One, that Maud was killed not even because she was a threat, but because Josiah was like, oh, she could become one. And that just like shows how cold-hearted he is, which I loved. And we also see his like his sociopathy when he is like, oh, I'll pay for Maud's funeral.
Because he wants to take over a business to hide what they had going.
Yes. And he wants to also like look good, like look kind.
Altruistic.
But then also like everybody pitched in for it. So like.
Well, that was Ned's idea. Josiah's like, I'll take care of everything. And Ned's like, maybe we should all pitch in because that looks weird.
Yes. And then I also liked that like Josiah like looks very relieved too. Yeah. So it's and he doesn't push back at all.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, great. So all of us will chip in.
Great, done.
And then I loved the detail that they don't even find out about the secret tunnels, except for that Patty, the tomcat, comes over to say hi to Mrs. Murphy, and he's like, hey, what's up? What's going on? And then he's like, oh, I was out catching rabbits. This rabbit, like, came out of this tunnel. And Mrs. Murphy's like, that tunnel is sealed off. And he's like, I don't know. A rabbit came out of there.
Yeah, well, and it's so, like she had been telling him about this and he's like, I don't give a fuck about what the humans do. And and then he comes back. He's like, so I guess like because you told me about this, I thought this might be of interest to you. I was chasing a rabbit. He came out of somewhere where he should not have been able to come out of. Do with that what you will. Do you want to fuck? No. Okay, bye.
Yeah. I loved that. I don't know. I really loved this book.
Mm-hmm. I really liked when Bob accidentally comes upon him because he's going around trying to figure out what's going on because he loved Maud. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what was the deal? What was happening? And he's wandering around. And then his dog, Ozzy, senses that there's this false foliage in front of the tunnel and knows that there's something there and then is like intent on protecting Bob from an intruder. Or not intruder, but a danger nearby, goes after it. And then Josiah shoots Ozzy. And then it says something like, Bob Berryman, caring more for his dog than himself, ran after to see what had happened. And then he gets shot as well.
Yeah, it's that he doesn't even think about the danger. He's just thinking about like, oh no, my dog. Mm-hmm. And so he runs and then dies.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, Bob. Oh my God.
Unsuspected depth.
I was like, damn, like you were the fucking red herring. And like, you were just like in the wrong place at the wrong time all the time. Cause everyone was like, Bob's kind of sketchy. And he's like, I just love Maud.
I'm a shit to my wife and I beat people up unnecessarily. Yeah. But like, I love Maud and I love my dog.
And then he dies, which. Sad, but it's fine.
But oh well. And it wasn't like a gratuitous pet death.
No, it was off page.
It was very like, this just happened and it's tragic and it's fast and I wasn't doing it to manipulate your emotions.
Well, because it also added stakes.
Yes, exactly.
It added stakes for the pets.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they were like, oh no. Mm-hmm. this person's bad.
Mm-hmm. And the whole reason the pets are trying to figure out what's going on is to protect Harry.
Yes.
Because, like, yes. Peter and then hates humans, but also yes. likes Harry. Peter yeah. fucking hates people. They're like, hates they're people. Beneath us. They don't kill their crazy young. They should mm-hmm. be taking these people out when they're babies, just like we do.
Also, I love that, and this is just, like, a very, like, catish thing, which I think was nailed with Peter, is that I have a similar thing with my cat Noodle, who, like, is generally distrustful and doesn't like Micah, except for if he opens a treat bag.
Of course.
She's like, hello? And she'll, like, appear and then all of a sudden be, like, really sweet and, like, want to hang out with him, which, like, I feel like is the Peter personality, where Peter
for sure.
hates all humans. But then anytime they have treats, Peter's like, hello? I'm here.
Huh? Was that called?
Mm-hmm.
I understand what that person was saying about, like, it being, like, problematic in terms of yes. mental health. But it does seem to me, at least, that this is a debate the author is having with herself.
Well, and
via the animals.
Well, yeah. And it's a cat saying, like, of course a cat would fucking think that, because cats yeah. do that.
She's exploring the idea from the animal's point of view, because it's like, well, animals kill their young. We do not.
Yeah.
And so we're more
intelligent than cats.
We have these, like, sociopath serial killer humans
mm-hmm.
because we don't kill our young. And she's not saying yeah. we should. The animals are saying we should, because that's what yeah. animals do. She's just sort of commenting on the interesting differences between the animal world and ours, where it's like.
And it does. Yeah. It does feel like a thought that an animal would have about.
Exactly. Humans. And she has this whole debate where it's like, they would never kill a disturbed youth who, like, is clearly going to be a problem.
Yeah.
At the same time, they don't take care of each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. like, which is better, that they let this disturbed baby grow up to kill, or do they kill the baby? Why don't they make that distinction? It's just yeah. an interesting, it doesn't seem like the author is, like, taking a side. It's just, let's explore this thought process that an animal might have. So I.
It doesn't feel like a thesis. It just yes. feels like an animal, like, looking at humans. That's what it felt like to me.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Rita Mae Brown was like, oh, no, I do think that we should kill our disturbed children. But I'm saying it's not necessarily what's going on.
Right.
Sorry, you were going to say?
Oh, I don't know. I did notice it. Like, when it mm-hmm. when I read it, I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it, and I didn't feel that it was the purpose of this book was Rita Mae Brown to, like, yeah. get all randy and on our asses.
it was just a thought exercise.
Yeah.
It was just food yeah. for thought. Isn't this interesting that humans are humane in this way and inhumane in these other ways? Like, we're destroying the planet, but we won't cull our young.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just talking about, like, the contradictions inherent in human society. So,
yes.
Anyway, I can see both sides.
Yes.
I wanted to read this other thing, because a huge part of the, not a huge part, but a running thing through the book is that this one character, like, super high, like, wannabe high society lady in town, Mim, Big Marilyn. Oh, yeah,
Mim.
Has his daughter, Little Marilyn, who is 30. 30 or maybe a little over 30,
oh, yeah.
Little Marilyn, who is getting married to this totally milquetoast man that we never even meet. And Little Marilyn is not inviting her brother, Stafford, to the wedding because Stafford married a black woman and Mim cut him out of their lives. And yes. Harry, just sort of, like, on edge because of all the murders going on, it just goes, you know what? Social niceties aside, I'm going to say something because this is fucked up. Because Stafford is great and the woman he married is great and she should be fucking inviting him to the wedding. So mm-hmm. she tells Little Marilyn that. Mim gets really upset. And then she's talking about it later with Rob, the guy who brings mail deliveries. And this is Rob talking.
Mm-hmm.
No, Stafford and Brenda Sandburn. She's about the prettiest thing I ever saw, but Well, I wish him happiness, but you can't go around breaking the rules and not expect to suffer for it. You're big on rules today, Harry thought. Love whomever you could. It was such a rare commodity in the world. You'd better take it where you could find it. No point arguing with Rob, who is a tender racist as opposed to the horrendous kind. Still, they did their damage, whether by trickle or by tidal wave.
That, I mean, I was like, come on. I got goosebumps.
Yes.
I loved that. Especially for a book that is like in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like microaggressions and things like that are not fucking talked about.
Mm-hmm. And they do. Like, it's like you can be like, black women are beautiful. I just don't think they should be marrying whites.
Yeah.
Like, that's harmful. You can't be like complimenting them in one way and then like othering them.
Well, like othering like, somebody in your complimenting of them.
Yeah. It's like, no, they're such good natural dancers.
Yeah. And then you're like, it's like, shit. So I felt like also, okay, that was another thing. I read a review where someone was like, the casual racism in this book really put me off. And it's like, wait, but.
This bugs me so much is like not making the distinction between a character who is racist and an author who is racist.
Well, and literally, I feel like comment. The thesis of the book is like our main character.
Don't be fucking racist.
Our point of view character is like, this is racist and bad and it is harmful. So like, I don't see how you.
And then the book ends because of Harry's actions with Stafford coming to town and that relationship healing.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
You can have racism in a book.
Yeah.
Without it being racist.
Yeah.
I don't like people need to fucking find the nuance in these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was the book. Thank you so much, Inga P. I know that you were worried that you were going to cringe reading it, but like, honestly, we liked it.
I really liked it.
And I kind of want to read more.
Yeah, so, I would totally read the second just to see how it progresses as a series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you.
Good stuff. So thank you. A special thank you to, all of you keeping us alive. We appreciate that.
And
a very special thank you.
Wings. Somebody wrote that shitty review of me being tone deaf and singing sometimes. And so now I'm going to do it all the fucking time.
Lindsay, I think, I don't know what they're saying. Like, truly, I don't think it's you.
But like,
because you don't sing that much.
I do the sing-songy thing though. And I like just then, but I do not claim to be able to sing well.
But I think that you are a better than average singer.
Better than average is not good.
So whoever
wrote that review, probably not a Patreon subscriber, but you think I don't know, bitch? You think I don't know that I don't always hit that note?
How insane would that have to be if that person was a Patreon subscriber?
That would be amazing.
I was like, maybe it was like, I don't know. I truly don't know.
You guys go look up on the Teen Creeps Twitter. I retweeted myself of somebody leaving a review criticizing all of the singing. How much
in a very nonsensical way.
Lots of the hyperbole.
And also like sentence tumbling upon sentence. Mm-hmm. It was pretty difficult to parse.
Yeah, it's nigh on unreadable. Somebody, her friends may not want to tell her that, but like, she should know that she can't write.
Because you're making us not like you.
You fucking crone.
Oh, yeah, crone.
Diarrhea voice crone.
I do wonder if it's somebody, because now this is, when was that review from? Because
kind of recently, they claimed to be a longtime listener.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. So 2 weeks ago, I was streaming and I get fucking trolls all the time. And I have a link to Teen Creeps on my about page.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had some trolls. And then I have trolls every time I stream. I just ban them instantly. But we were talking about when people don't know that they're bad singers.
Hmm.
It was very weird. Like we were talking about it for a while. Of like people that are like very delusional and are like, I'm going to be on American Idol. And then you hear them sing and you're like, oh, okay. No. And so we were talking about that for a while. And so like when I saw that, I was like, oh, I wonder if like just one of the trolls that I banned got mad and like clicked on that link and then left a review.
I don't know. This is from October 5th, 2020.
Oh, no, that's before. Okay.
And they said, came here so long ago from my favorite murder.
Oh, MFM. That's right.
I'll just go ahead and read it. Yes, the YA book talk was super fun and funny, but now the singing of the one tone deaf crone seems to power diarrhea out her nose far too often. She needs a real friend to tell her she is the worst. Girl, your voice is awful. Everyone thinks so and can't tell you. It's like the sound of a diesel-powered cat's anus trumpeting out of a dead dolphin's rotting blowhole over and over. Just stop. You're hurting us and making us hate you. We do not sing that much. Also, so if you're longtime listener and you are in that like sort of phase where we were singing more when we were recording at Nerdist a billion years ago, you're not that long time of a listener.
And also like
we don't do that question, regularly.
I mean, I do wonder if maybe, because you know how sometimes like people think like, oh, this is a joke review and like that'll be a funny, like when people are like, oh, I can be like really mean to you because I think we're friends.
Maybe.
It might be that. Like I truly it's do really not weird. Know what this
we
could
don't
be.
Sing
I
all the time.
I don't understand this person and I don't understand like
I wonder what's if they just like them. Because there were a couple times and I wonder if I talked about a bad review around this time where they were just like hoping we'd read it.
Yeah. And getting like, I mean, they are, we're talking about them. So
yeah,
they're
but we're talking about them
want.
On the Patreon. So haha, we will not be speaking of you on the regular episode.
It turns out we will give you that. We will give you that pedestal for $8 a month.
Subscribers. Anyway, I know that you got to go. So we'll wrap up. Thank you.
Mostly
to
just
our...
my bladder has to go.
Same, always. Always. Thank you to our Patreon producers.
Thank you, Carrie Lubarsky, Rebecca Goss, Jessica Yu, Gwendolyn Ludovic, Keith Anderson, Emma, Brian Petty II, Saoirse Descaro, Marco Pavlicic, Katie Lilly, Rashad Black, Gabriela Santiago, Grace Armstrong, Tristan Buckner, Courtney McPhail, Victoria Gray, Sarah, Claire Moore, Randy Klett, Melody, Jeremy Kronk, Jonathan Venable, Sarah Wallen, Mandalay Wolschlager, Kat Miller, Gianna Fernandez, Lander Desmond, Megan Lozier, Rogue Kalahua, Karen Lewis, Miranda Hester, Ebony Collins, Emma Murray, Katie Olsner, Christarina, Danny, Victoria Beck, Amanda Nengel, Luke Bartek, Ashley Fritz, Sasha Gibson, Miguel Camacho, Aaron Fernandez, Noah Spargo, Molly Marks, Victoria Valdez, Micah Eunice, Laura Hooper, and Kelly Burns.
We really appreciate you. Thank you for listening to another Outside Genre. We will see you in February for another. Keep it. Oh, yeah. Keep it extra creepy.
And that was the preview of our Outside Genre episodes on Patreon. We really hope you liked it. Again, if you liked what you heard, patreon.com/teencreeps. A rundown of all of the perks that we have. $1 a month. It's just, you know, thank you. We really, really appreciate you. $5 a month, you get stickers and mini-sodes. Mini-sodes are extra episodes every week. Two of those per month are going to be public domain theater episodes. We've been reading a lot of really beautiful stories lately, but also some very whack ones where we're like, why would we do this to ourselves? And the minisodes cover anything from movies that fall in the genre of our show to quizzes to talking just about whatever to watch alongs. Last month we did all of those Lifetime Ruby Landry, VC Andrews movies. We do it all. Then $8 a month, you get everything that was already described. Plus you get to be entered into a raffle to choose the book that we cover that month, which is, you guessed it, the Outside Genre episode. Now we jump into $15 a month. You get everything that we already mentioned, plus a personalized thank you. Even if you don't give to our Patreon, we really, really appreciate you. Just listening, telling people about our show, that really helps. So thank you to everyone. We love you all. And we'll check in with you next week. Keep it creepy.